Thank you so much for having me, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Amarendra Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 13th Chapter, 6th Sloka. Prabhuji, please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Sure, Mataji. So should I screen share or would it be screen shared by the host?
You can do either, Prabhuji.
Okay, already the screen sharing has started.
Yeah, thank you.
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुर् उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सह गणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुतदेवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे गुरवे गौरचन्द्राय राधिकायै तदालये कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णस्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेतस् पुराणार्कादुनोदितः Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I really want to thank Shyamagauri Mataji and other organizers of the call, of the morning Bhagavatam call, the Bhakti Sangha Japa group, for kindly giving me an opportunity of service this morning. I want to offer my obeisances to all the wonderful Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who have assembled this morning in America and this evening in India. Kindly thank you so much for kindly joining in from different parts of the country to bless me with your auspicious presence and blessings. Please kindly pray for me. Please bless me. May the right words come at the right time in the right spirit of service. May this cleanse our heart. May it give pleasure to our ears. And ultimately, may this satisfy our inner yearning of Krishna Bhakti. This is our only desire and this is to be done in the mood of service. So let us hear as service to Krishna. Let us speak in the spirit of service to Krishna. So we are reading from the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, text 6 today. Kvaced vitoya sarito bhiyate परस्परं चालशते निरंधः आसाद्य दावं क्वचिदग्नितप्तो निर्वेद्यते क्व च यक्षैर्हृतासुः भागवतम इज सो ब्यूटिफुल दैट यू फील टेम्प्टेड टू सिंग द वर्स विद द मृदंग सो क्वचेद्वितो या सरितोभियादि परस्परं चालशते निरन्धः आसाद्य दावं क्वचिदाग्नितप्तो निर्वेद्यते क्वच यक्षैर्तासु क्वचेद्वितो या सरितोभियादि परस्परं चालशते निरन्धः आसाद्य दावं क्वचिदाग्नितप्तो Nirvedyate kvacha yakshairtasu kvache dvitoya sarito bhayati parasparam chalashate nirandhah asadyadavam kvachidagnitato nirvedyate kvacha yakshairtasu. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sometimes the conditioned soul jumps into a shallow river, or being short of food grains, he goes to beg food from people who are not at all charitable. Sometimes he suffers from the burning heat of household life, which is like a forest fire. And sometimes he becomes sad to have his wealth, which is as dear as life, plundered by kings in the name of heavy income taxes. I think we all can relate to this. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When one is hot due to the scorching sun, one sometimes jumps into a river to gain relief. However, if the river is almost dried up and the water is too shallow, one may break his bones by jumping in. The conditioned soul is always experiencing miserable conditions. So we'll go little by little section. So here Prabhupada is talking about sometimes to get free from the heat. Maybe the screen share can be on, because I'm just going to make one line comment. Then we'll continue reading. Yeah, thank you. So Prabhupada is making this point that sometimes to be free from the heat, we may get to a solution which is going to be very cooling. But imagine if that cooling solution also ends up being very hot, then we have nowhere to go to. So what that actually means is, when we are suffering in this world, we go for some help. But we see that most of the times that help creates more suffering than before. That is what Prabhupada is trying to mention here. Sometimes his efforts to get help from friends are exactly like jumping into a dry river. By such actions, he does not derive any benefit. He only breaks his bones. So we can also relate to this. People whom we think will help us, as the saying goes in English, the friend in need is a friend indeed. Many times we see that the people whom we depend on at the time of difficulty, either they will listen to our story and instead of giving help, they will only give sympathy. Oh, I don't know how you're going through this. It's a very tough situation. I couldn't have survived. That's all. They will say all these things, but no help. And those who promise help, they won't help in time. And others, they will listen to our story and then go behind our back and make fun of us, or maybe even add more trouble than before. But hardly is there anyone who can actually help. Prabhupada is mentioning that. Sometimes suffering from a shortage of food, one may go to a person who is neither able to give charity nor willing to do so. We can see this especially amidst people who are homeless. It's very difficult to live without a home, live without food, and they have to put in placards, and they have to put in different boards that, you know, God will bless you, please feed me. And so many people in the car, they drive past them, they even see them, but they are not ready to help. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada says that we should always try to help. We should always try to help. Otherwise our heart will become very hard. Heart will become very hard. So the question could be, should we give money? Because sometimes the concern is, if we give money, they will get into drugs and smoking and paan and bidi and alcohol. So what to do? So Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur says, we should always keep some prasadam with us. And we should try to give. But if we see that they're not ready to take, then there's not much we can do. There's not much we can do. If we are convinced that by giving money, they are sincere and they will be helped, then we can definitely do that. We can either fund ourselves. Sometimes people say that, give me money, I want to eat something. So you can get them something. It could be fruits, it could be anything, it could be water. And if you see that they are actually drinking that water and eating that fruit, which means they are very hungry. But sometimes they themselves will say, no, I don't want food, give me money. So then that is a red flag, that they don't want food. So at least we should try something. Sometimes one is stationed in household life, which is compared to a forest fire. Samsara davanala lidha loka. Why is household life compared to forest fire? Prabhupada, in another purport I was reading recently, Prabhupada mentions about even household life being difficult to manage even for birds. Like you can see a male bird, as soon as he realizes that his female partner is pregnant and is expecting a baby, then immediately he goes out. The male member, the male, the to-be father, he goes out to get the grains that day and for those weeks. And then he's the one preparing the nest and making sure that his wife bird, the female bird, is well kept, is taken care. And also when the baby is born, the male is taking care that other birds are not trying to eat that baby bird. And the female is well taken care and she's proper rested and health is fine, etc. And the nest is also made on the branch of a tree which is safe. So the male has to think. So Prabhupada is making that point in another purport, that if that male bird was by himself, he doesn't have to think so much. But household life, even in all species of life, there is some struggle. No doubt, there is struggle. This has been mentioned even in the Bhagavatam, that Pumsa Striya Mithuni Bhava Metat Tayo Mitho Hridaya Granthi Mahur Atha Griha Kshetra Suta Apta Vittaihi Janasya Mohoyam Aham Vameti. That when one is single, then single meaning brahmachari, then one doesn't have to worry about his maintenance, his food, his stay, work, money, nothing. But as soon as the desire to enjoy with the opposite gender comes in, then it doesn't come free. We have to pay a price for even that flickering, limited, very low-class enjoyment in this world. Pumsastriya maithuni bhavam, the mithuni bhav, the maithun bhav, the desire to mutually enjoy when it comes, then hridaya granthi mahur, the heart gets, there's a knot created between the heart. Both the hearts are tied together. And now what happens is atha griha. Both have to get married and they have to live in a place, so they need a home, griha. But the house will not be free. It comes with a rent. And which means to pay that you need money, and to get the money, griha kshetra. One needs a place to work. Atha griha kshetra. And then when husband and wife are together, then children are natural. Then suta. Atha griha kshetra suta. Children, boys and girls and sons and daughters are born. Atha griha kshetra suta, and then as soon as children are born, apta, relatives come in. The brother-in-law, sister-in-law, mother-in-law, father-in-law, everyone comes in. So now the relation is not just with the wife or with the child, but the whole family. It's like a, you know, web, a strong knot with all the relatives in both sides. And then vittaihi, to maintain all of this, there must be constant, floating cash every month. It must keep coming. And amidst all this, the person is caught up and he forgets that he belongs to Krishna and the human form has been given only to achieve Godhead, nothing else. He comes in this world to achieve Krishna, but except Krishna, he ends up trying to achieve everything else. And then the sad part is he has to leave everything behind at the time of death. So he gains everything materially. It could be food, clothing, shelter, health, education, and even status in society. What people think of me, what people think of my opinion, and then prestige, how much I'm respected, how many people are working under me. So all of these things are gained. And then with one thunderbolt of death, everything is taken away. Or if it's not that drastic, it gets even more drastic with diseases and old age. Backache, shoulder problem, you know, spondylitis problem. Gastrointestinal problems, cancer, and so many other issues can be there, and the body becomes weak emotionally, physically, even financially. And then it just goes down the hill to remember Krishna. So therefore, when we are young and youthful, we should try to remember Krishna. Now we continue. When a man is heavily taxed by the government, he becomes very sad. Heavy taxation obliges one to hide his income, but despite his endeavor, the government agents are often so vigilant and strong that they take away all the money anyway, and the conditioned soul becomes very aggrieved. We all can relate to that. How much ever money tax bracket increases. The more the one makes money, then one has to pay more, whether it's state tax and federal tax, and hardly one gets anything back. And then all of that, to see a government with corrupt politicians and corrupt ministers, everything failing. So it's painful. Arthanam arjane dukkham, arjitanam charakshane, aye dukkham, vaye dukkham, dhik arthan kashta sanshritan. The Subhashita describes that to make money, arthanam arjane dukkham, it's very painful and very difficult to make money. And arjitanam charakshane, then once money is made, to protect that money, it's very painful. You have to put in a lot of effort, whether it's through tax, whether it's through gunpoint, knife point, whether it's through plundering, right? Then we have to think of investment plans, how to multiply that money. And what if, there's a crash in the economy? What if there's inflation? What if there is economic depression? People are getting laid off. So many things. And aye dukkham vaye dukkham, whether money is coming in, to make that money it's difficult, to protect that money is difficult, and when it's lost it's difficult. And still the illusion is, amidst all this I will be happy. We have to understand true happiness is always in bhakti, nothing else. Everything else can give temporary pleasure. It's like an oasis. It's like an oasis. Imagine someone drinking cold water amidst summer. It's summertime and one is drinking cold water. You will see people sometimes even drink half a bottle and they still want more. Why? Because it is giving some pleasure to the throat, but it doesn't satisfy. Cold water doesn't satisfy. Just like ocean water doesn't satisfy a thirst. So you can try to drink, it may give some pleasure, but it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't quench the thirst. So similarly, material things, material pleasure, it may give some pleasure, very temporary. But then very quickly, that juice is taken away and the desire to enjoy still remains. So it gives some pleasure to the throat. It's like cold water, but it doesn't quench the thirst or the hunger. We continue reading the purport. Thus, people are trying to become happy within the material world, but this is like trying to be happy in a forest fire. No one need go to a forest to set it ablaze. Fire takes place automatically. Similarly, no one wants to be unhappy in family life or worldly life, but by the laws of nature, unhappiness and distress are forced upon everyone. This section is so beautiful. Prabhupada is speaking truth straight. He's not trying to win followers. Sometimes the author in any book, you will see that they will try to write in such a way that the readers are reading very nice, sweet, wonderful descriptions, right? But Prabhupada is not cheating us. He's speaking the truth. We cannot be happy in this world. By buying newer shoes, newer clothes, newer jewelry, getting more money, bigger house, bigger cars, marrying a better wife, better husband, being famous, and all of this put together at all times, still one will not be happy. And the example is given in the Bhagavatam of a deer. The example given of a deer is, sometimes the deer eats grass. It's very hungry, so it eats grass. But after eating grass, it feels thirsty. So now what happens? It goes around searching for water and never gets water and dies out of exhaustion. But guess what? Where that water is? If you just move the grass a bit, under the grass, there's a water pond. It's water. So what that means is, grass represents this body. And under the grass is the soul. That is the water. So we as deer, what we try to do is we try to enjoy the grass of this body. But then when we feel thirsty beyond a point for joy, we don't get it in this grass. So we have to search for water. And that water we search around and we die miserably out of fatigue, one life after another. But what is that water? That is the soul. So true pleasure is obtained only through when the soul connects itself to Krishna. There is no other source of pleasure. There is no other source of pleasure. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yatho bhaktir adhokshaje ahaituki apratihata. Everyone should say this verse. Yayatma suprasidati. Very good. Many of us are even lip-syncing it. Very nice. Prabhupada really liked this verse. Yaya atma suprasidati. The atma, the soul, will be happy only if it connects to Krishna. There is no other solution. Let's think about it. If drinking alcohol is the solution, analyze someone who's drinking morning, afternoon, evening, night. What happens to him? To buy that alcohol, he needs money. Now, after buying that alcohol, diseases will come into the body, suffering to the body. Then going to the doctor and paying money for kidney failure and treating, and then death. And after that, Yamalok. So only suffering is there. Only suffering. Meat eating also same thing. For some taste on the tongue, animals are killed. So it is suffering for the animal. And there is sin there. And after eating all that red meat, the body becomes unhealthy. Then giving money to the doctor, hospitalization, death, and then Yamalok. And after Yamalok, after suffering there, then animal form on earth. So still suffering. It doesn't end so easily. But on the other hand, you see anyone doing bhakti. Whether it is Parikshit Maharaj in the womb, Prahlad Maharaj in the womb, Dhruva Maharaj at the age of 5, or you see different people at different ages. Pandavas during their life, Gajendra as an animal, as an elephant, Hanuman, Jatayu, so many people, so many examples are there like that. And then what to speak of Ajamil at the time of death. And then Bharat Maharaj, you can see so many lives. Bharat Maharaj, then the deer, then Jada Bharat. And he's anyway the speaker in this section, Jada Bharat. So bhakti, anyone who performs bhakti, you can see they're always protected. The power of bhakti is such that Ajamil, all his life, he was misled by his material desires. But then at the time of death, he called out to Narayana. Kvachaham kitavah papam brahmagno nirapatrapa kvacha Narayana iti etat bhagavan nama mangalam. The sixth canto of Bhagavatam describes that Ajamil is thinking that what good have I done? I have wasted my life. Being born as a Brahmana, I ran behind prostitutes. I just enjoyed my senses, left, right, center. I broke all religious principles. But only one good thing happened in my life. I called out to my son, whose name happens to be the name of God. And Bhagavan Nama Mangalam. Vishnudutas gave me darshan because of the chanting of the holy name. So therefore, anyone who performs bhakti, you can see even those in Vrindavan, who are even on the street of Vrindavan, they are so blissful. They may not have, you can compare rich people outside Vrindavan and even those without money in Vrindavan. Those with bhakti, those without bhakti. You can have the whole world, win over the whole world, but without bhakti, the person is miserable. You can see the life of Chitraketu Maharaj in the sixth canto. People ask, kaun banega karodpati? Who's going to become a millionaire? But he was actually karodpati because he was pati of karod. He had 1 crore wives. So he was the husband of 1 crore wives. Karodpati. But then he was miserable. Right? He didn't have a son. And when he got a son by force, then the son died. So many complications. You can see. You can see the life of Chitraketu Maharaj. If association of male and female is the source of all pleasure, then there should have been nobody more happier than Chitraketu Maharaj, because he had 1 crore wives. Now you cannot be more happier than that, if that is the solution. All these Bollywood movies and all of these Bollywood songs of, you know, perfect love, male and female, doesn't exist, Baba. This doesn't exist. It is simply hoax. You can see those hero and heroine. They are making money by singing those songs, but individually in their own lives, they are into third marriage and fourth marriage. Individually, they are having boyfriends and girlfriends at the age of 50 and 60. Still, they have not settled in life as to where they want to be with loyalty and chastity. So somebody who has not figured the solution in life, how can they give us solution? And we like fools are paying money to see them on the big screen. Doesn't work like that. Could be anyone. We are not against any specific class of men or women. It is for everyone. If I am walking on that path, it is applicable to me also. It's a principle, not a person. If having multiple queens, multiple husbands, multiple wives is the source of all pleasure, multiple partners is the source of all pleasure, you can see wherever there is multiple opportunity, only distress has been written in Shastra. Think about the life of Uttanupad. Right. Not 1 crore wives like Chitraketu Maharaj, but the description of Suniti and Suruchi has been given. And what happens? He gets caught between them. And then we have read that in fourth canto. Think about even the father of the Lord of the Universe, Sri Ramchandra's father, Dasharath Maharaj. many queens, three prominent ones, caught in backfire between them, ends up losing the association of the Supreme Lord, ends up losing his own life. Not to criticize, but they are teaching us lessons. Even the father of the Supreme Lord is teaching us lessons. To teach us, they go through these different pastimes. So therefore, if multiple partners is the solution, then all these examples should have been happy. But they're not happy to show us that pleasure is not there. Pleasure is not there. Absolutely not there. And it's not against women. Women for male, male for female. And nowadays male for male and female for female. You know, it gets even more complicated. So there is no pleasure. There's no pleasure there. And if more money was the solution, then you should see the richest person, the top 10, to be the most happiest. But they are having most anxiety. They are working 18 hours a day. One rich man, one multi-billionaire, in his interview, he was saying that I work 18 hours a day and sleep in the garage of my workplace because I don't even have time to go home. So in the office only I sleep, and I bathe there and I'm ready. So you tell me, 18 hours you're giving money, you're giving time to make that money, but then we don't have time to even live that money. What are we eating then? We have stand and eat salad and rush to work. There's no time to even sit and properly accept prasad. Right? So what are we gaining? What are we gaining? We are running behind currency, and currency is numbers, and numbers are unlimited. So there is no end. There is no end. Size of the car, model of the car, size of the shoe, model of the shoe, size and model and types of wristwatches. Only simply variety. But it will not give us happiness. We think if I have a smaller phone, I will be happy. Bigger phone, I will be happy. Smaller iPad, I will be happy. Bigger iPad, I will be happy. It doesn't work like that. So we are like that deer who's searching all over for the water of joy, but we don't get it. We are trying to busy eating the grass of this body, enjoying. Through the eyes, I want to watch entertainment. Through the ears, I want to hear entertainment. Through the nose, I want to smell something nice. I want to eat something sweet. Through all my senses, at all times, I want pleasure. But unfortunately, it is like someone who is very thirsty and is not given more than one drop of water. He wants more. And this world doesn't give more than that. It's a brutal world. If we really want pleasure, we have to jump into the ocean of joy, and that is Krishna. That is the only solution. Everyone who has performed bhakti has been blissful. And everyone who has neglected bhakti and done everything else is miserable. This through history we can see, through Shastra we can see, and through realization we all can see. We all can see. Every day some or the other desire is there. I wish I had a better dhoti, I wish I had a better kurta, I wish I had a better, you know, a speaker, I wish I had a better mic, I wish I had a better lighting, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. And after getting it, then it will fail. The bulb will not work, then there will be some electric connection problem. It doesn't solve. Doesn't work. The solution creates more problem than before. But yes, we have to do what we have to do with responsibility in this world. But at the same time, we have to perform bhakti. That's the main thing. Finding the water under the grass means feeding the soul under the body. That's most important. Prabhupada gives another example. That is of a kasturi deer. Prabhupada gives the example of a kasturi deer, a musk deer. He smells musk fragrance and runs all over the mountain to see where that fragrance is coming from, and out of tiredness dies and doesn't realize that smell is actually coming from his own skin. It's a musk deer. So the smell is coming from the musk deer only, from the skin only. But smelling that fragrance, he doesn't understand where it's coming from. So he's running all over the place and dies out of fatigue. So why Prabhupada gives that example? He says that we're all like musk deer. We are searching for joy all around and dying in fatigue. But where is that joy? It's coming from the soul. The soul is Satchitananda Vigraha. It is completely joyous. But to experience that, the soul must be connected to the super soul, to Krishna, in bhakti. When that is there, then one can experience true joy, unending joy. Then even if there is no money or money, food, no food, clothing, no clothing, the person is blissful. Look at the Pandavas. Look at the Pandavas, how much they went through. The Pandavas went through ups and downs in life. But what kept them going was their bhakti to Krishna. On the other hand, look at Duryodhan. Duryodhan materially had everything that the Pandavas did not have. He had bigger kingdoms, he had better food, better clothes, security, homes, palaces, everything. Everything. Think about it, and Duryodhan had everything. He had servants, ministers, slaves. He could desire and it will be fulfilled. But because he was not a devotee, he was miserable. And Pandavas, because they were devotees, even in the middle of the forest, even during incognito, agyatvas, they were blissful. This is in the Mahabharata. Therefore, everybody gives the example of Yudhishthir Maharaj and not Duryodhan. Nobody wants to be like Yudhishthir, but everyone knows that Yudhishthir is better. Although he suffered so much materially, what was the thing that made him good? It was his bhakti to Krishna. That was his strength. Look at the Ramayana. Same. On one hand, we have Vibhishan. And on the other hand, we have Ravan. Two brothers. Both had everything. Vibhishan and Ravan enjoyed the same Lanka. But Vibhishan was blissful and Ravana was miserable. Why? Because Vibhishan had connection to Sri Ramchandra through bhakti. Dasharat Maharaj on one end and Dashamukha Maharaj on the other. Dasharat Maharaj is Ramchandra's father. Dashamukha or Dashanana is Ravana. I am playing with the word Dasha because Dasharatha means he who could take his chariot in 10 directions. Or he who could fight 10 chariots at the same time. Or Ratha also means senses. He who had conquered all his 10 senses. 5 Gyanendriya and 5 Karmendriya. He had conquered. But on the other hand, Dashamukha, Ravana, Dashanana, all his faces were outside. Which means all his senses are looking for pleasure in this world. So if you can control the 10 senses like Dasharatha Maharaj, then one lives in a city called Ayodhya, which is undefeated. And who appears? The Supreme Lord appears as the child. And on the other hand, if the senses are uncontrolled, looking outside, one could be living in Suvarna Lanka, but still it will be burned to ashes by the tail of a monkey. This is what Ravana is teaching us. Right? So this contrast must be understood. So Prabhupada says, similarly, no one wants to be unhappy in family life or worldly life. But by the laws of nature, unhappiness and distress are forced upon everyone. To become dependent on another's maintenance is very degrading. Therefore, according to Vedic system, everyone should live independently. Only the Shudras are unable to live independently. They are obliged to serve someone for maintenance. It is said in the Shastra, Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha, in this age of Kali, everyone is dependent on another man's mercy for the maintenance of the body. Therefore, everyone is classified as Shudra. Prabhupada is making a very strong point that we should never be proud that I was given Brahman initiation or I was born in Trivedi, Chaturvedi, Shukla, Mishra, I was born in Subramanyam, Ayyar, Ayyangar, high family. One should not think like that. One should understand in Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha. Janmana Jayate Shudraha. Samskarat Bhaved Dvijaha. Veda Patanat Bhaved Vipra Brahman Janatiti Brahman. Shudra Prabhupada describes as someone who depends on another person. And we all work and depend on some company for feeding us, for giving us our daily pay, right? The money comes from serving some corporation. So Brahmanas are not like that. They depend only on Krishna. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that in Kali Yuga, the government will levy taxes without reciprocally benefiting the citizens. Now everyone understands this. You can vote for whomever you want, but anyway, that's a big subject matter. Anavrishtya vinangshanti durbhikshakara peeditaha. In this age, there will also be a shortage of rain. Therefore, a scarcity of food will arise and citizens will be very much harassed by government taxation. In this way, the citizens will abandon their attempts to lead a peaceful life and will leave their homes and hearth and go into the forest in sheer disappointment. This is the towards the end of Kali Yuga. Maybe we are not seeing it at this point. But definitely towards the end of Kali Yuga, these things will be there. So, certainly, we have, through the purport and through the section of Srimad Bhagavatam, understood that this material world is a very, very painful place to live in. For anyone and everyone, With time, it will come. The effects will come. Either the problem is through a spouse, or the problem is through in-laws, or through parents, or through children, or health. We can see everybody has their own different colorful shade of distress in this world. Right? Either the spouse is not Krishna conscious, or if the spouse is Krishna conscious, he or she is very dominating. If that is, everything is perfect, the spouse is very understanding, then there is some problem with the in-laws. If that is also fine, then kids are not Krishna conscious. If that is also fine, then health is not fine. If that is fine, then we are not able to sustain at work. If that is fine, education-wise we suffer. If that is fine, then there is some immigration issue. Constantly something or the other will come. Some accident, right? Some environmental problem. Nothing is there. Corona will come and 2 years will be taken away from the calendar for everyone. Something or the other is there. Therefore, King Kulashekhara, he writes very beautifully, He martya paramam hitam shrunutavo vakshami sankshepatah samsararanavamapadurmi bahulam samyak praveshyasthita nananyanamapasya chetasi namo narayana ityamum mantram sa pranavam pranamasahitam pravarthayatvam muhu. In the Mukundmala Stotra, I believe verse 16, King Kulashekhara has said, Hey Martyaha, O dying men of this world, which is all of us, Hey Martyaha paramam hitam shrunuta, please listen to the highest well-being that I have to say, the best thing that I have to say, King Kulashekhara is saying. So then our question is, are you going to say it for a long time? No, vakshami sankshepataha. I promise I will say it very quickly. I will keep it short, because everyone likes smaller pieces of information. If you give advice for 2-3 hours, then nobody's interested. But in 2 minutes, the essence of life. Do this and your life will change. If that is the title of the video, 2 minute video, then you will see 10 million views. Because people want the best thing to be heard quickly. So King Kulashekhara is saying, Hey Martyaha, O dying men of this world, O suffering men of this world. Hey Martyaha, paramam hitam shrunuta. Please listen to the highest well-being. Vakshami, I am speaking sankshepataha, very quickly. Acha, please go ahead. What do you have to say? He says, Samsara aranavam apad urmi bahulam samyak pravishya sthita. Oh, you have entered an ocean to do surfing there. But unfortunately, this is not an ocean of this world. It is the ocean of material existence. You went to do surfing there on your surf boat, but it's not surfing, it is suffering. Samsara aranavam apad urmi bahulam samyak pravishya sthita. King Kulashekhara is saying you entered an ocean to enjoy the ocean of this world. But unfortunately, the tides and waves of this world are problems. And instead of enjoying for some time and coming out, samyak pravishya sthita, you have settled in the middle of the ocean of this material world. Now, how to come out? He says, don't worry. Do 3 things. First thing, nana jnanam apasya. Give up all your ideas. मुझे लगता है हमें ऐसा करना चाहिए, हमें वैसा करना चाहिए. I feel we should do this. I think this may work, that may work. He is saying when you are in the middle of an ocean of material existence, the mind is already contaminated. So with a contaminated mind, your opinions will not help you. He is telling all of us. Therefore, give up your ideas and listen to me. सेकेंड पॉइंट ना, फर्स्ट पॉइंट, गिव अप योर आइडियाज एंड लिसन टू मी. पहली बात ये जानो कि तुम कुछ नहीं जानते, ऐसे हमको कह रहे हैं. कुलशेखर जी इज टेलिंग ऑल ऑफ अस दैट फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल एक्सेप्ट दैट यू डोंट नो. ओके, एक्सेप्टेड. ही सेड सेकेंड पॉइंट, नमो नारायणाय इति अमुम मंत्रम, चैंट द होली नेम ऑफ द लॉर्ड कॉन्स्टेंटली कॉन्स्टेंटली. खाईते शुईते जथा तथा नाम, उठीते बशीते खाईते शुईते. At all times one must chant, he's saying. Constant chanting. Keep the name of the Lord in the tongue like a candy kept in the tongue of a child. Keep it moving. Harinam, keep it on the tongue. Harinam will help. Harinam will help. Now sometimes the question could be, but the mind is not absorbed. No problem. No problem. Body must be working in Krishna's service, even if the mind is not absorbed. This principle we must understand. This is a very important principle. Let's say if the body is in wrong activities and we say my mind is absorbed in Krishna, never possible, because mind will always follow the body. Man vahi karega jahan tan ho. Now if the body is in a liquor store and if you say through mind I'm thinking of Krishna, it will never work. Not possible. Not possible, because mind will always follow the body. So if the body, even if the mind is not absorbed, the body must be in devotional activities. Body must be in devotional activities. Now if the body is in the temple, body is in service, body is in absorbed in reading, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping Krishna, then mind is not absorbed, no problem. That is fine. Because mind will go, we will get it back, will again go. Kaha jayega? Where will the mind go? How many times will the mind go? The deer of the mind will run around, but ultimately he has to come to take shelter of Krishna only. Because here is where the pleasure is. There is no pleasure outside. This has been mentioned in the Ramaraksha Stotra also. Ramo Rajamani Sada Vijayate Ramam Ramesham Bhaje Ramena Bhigata Nishacharachamu Ramaya Tasmai Namaha Rama Nasti Parayanam Parataram Ramasya Dasosmyaham Rame Chitta Layas Sada Bhavatume Bho Rama Mamudhar. It has been described that Chitte, the Chitta, Rame Chitta Layas Sada Bhavatume. The mind is like a bird. The bird can go around flying in the sky for a long, long time. But can the bird be happy? However wide the sky is, however wonderful nature is, can the bird ever be happy just flying all day, every day, all night, every night? Not possible. But where is the pleasure? In its own nest. So the mind is like a bird. It will keep flying. But where is the nest? The nest is the lotus feet of the Lord. The bird of the mind, even if it flies everywhere, ultimately the resting place is the lotus feet of Ramachandra, lotus feet of Krishna, lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, nowhere else. So even if the mind goes somewhere, kaha jayega? Where will it find pleasure? It will jump from one thing to the other. But ultimately he has to come here. But if the body is in wrong activities, and if we say the mind will be absorbed, it will never work. So first thing is, body must not be in wrong activities. Body should not be watching movies. Body should not be eating meat. Body should not be into illicit activities. Body should not be into other activities and think that the mind will be absorbed. It will not work. So first thing, King Kulashekhara is saying, give up your ideas and listen to me. Second thing, chant the holy name constantly. Even if mind is not absorbed, no problem. The example given is, even if the mind is not absorbed and when we accept prasad, body is nourished, hunger is destroyed, taste is felt by the tongue. It's not that mind has to be absorbed. People are talking and eating, people are watching movies and eating, people are, you know, browsing on the internet and eating. Still, hunger is destroyed, hunger is finished, tongue tastes sweetness or the taste of the prasad or food. And the body gets nourished also, even without the mind. If mind is there, even more. Ayurveda says the body becomes even more nourished. So the same with chanting, same with bhakti. Even if mind is not absorbed, no problem. Challenge the mind. Nahi, koi, nahi lagna hai, koi baat nahi. If mind you don't want to be absorbed, no problem. I will continue to chant. Tangi to chalana hai. Only the tongue has to move, lips have to move, no problem. Mind will come eventually. He do it for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Where will the mind go? He will say, Baba, theek hai. Okay, fine, I will chant. But this must be there. First, the body must be there. So this is the second point. And third point, King Kulashekhara is saying, mantram sa pranavam pranama sahitam, to offer obeisances to Krishna every day. This is the third point. If we want to get out of the ocean of problems, then these are the three things. We have to give up our ideas and listen to the acharyas. We should be under guru. We should be under sampradaya. Second, we should constantly chant the holy name. And third, we should every day offer obeisances to Krishna. Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dukkha shamanastam namami harimparam. The last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam says only two things. After 18,000 verses, the conclusion of the 23rd verse of the 13th chapter of the 12th canto is chant the holy name and offer obeisances. Body should bow down and tongue should chant. Bas. Now, if the mind is absorbed, not absorbed, doesn't matter. Prabhupada was asked about mind. Prabhupada said, with the tongue you chant, with the ear you hear. What the mind has to do in this? You just chant. Don't worry. If mind is absorbed, even better. But we have been moving from one body to another over lifetimes, sometimes as pigs, sometimes as dogs, sometimes as monkeys, sometimes as donkeys, sometimes as lions. So the same mind has the impression of all these activities. So it will take time for the mind to be absorbed. But even if that is not there, hearing Harikatha, constant Harikatha, if the mind says something wrong, some anti-Krishna conscious or adharmic inclinations are given by the mind, put Harikatha, put Aindra Prabhu's kirtans. Keep hearing the kirtan, keep hearing Harikatha. Loudly chant, pick up the mridanga and do kirtan. What can the mind do? The mind will surrender. The mind will surrender. Before we surrender to Krishna, the mind will surrender to the path of bhakti. This is the power on the path. So these are the three things King Kulashekara has said. In the Mukundamala Stotra, he says, Mabhir Mandamati, O Mandamati, Mandamana, Mabhir, don't fear. Mabhir Mandamano Vichintya Bahuda. Yamishwaram yatana naivami prabhavanti paparipava swami nanu shridhara alasyam vyapaniya bhakti sulabham dhyayasvanarayanam. He has said that, O mandamana, O mind, mabhi, do not fear. Fear what? Yamishwaram yatana. Don't fear that I have committed so many sins. Now after this body, I will be taken to hell and Yamaraj will punish me. Don't worry. He says, don't fear. Why no fear? Is there no suffering? He says, no, you will not go to hell. Don't worry. King Kulashekara is telling the mind, Ma bhihi manda mano. O foolish mind, ma bhihi. Bhi means fear. Bhita or bhiti. Bhaya. Ma bhihi. O mind, do not fear. Manda mano. O foolish mind, do not fear. Fear what? Yamishwaram yatana. The tormenting hits of the whips of Yama. Acha? Why? No, don't worry, O mind. You will not go to hell. Okay, may not go to hell, but then next life I may suffer reactions, right? He says, Naivami prabhavanti papa ripavaha. Even your sinful reactions have no power. It's like, let's say if you have a... Imagine if you have a rope which is in the shape of a snake. A rope in the shape of a snake. It may look like a snake, but it doesn't have the poison of the snake, it doesn't have the teeth of the snake. It may have the shape of a snake, but it doesn't have the potency of a snake. So reactions which were like snakes become like ropes. They cannot bite, they cannot bind, they cannot poison us. How can reactions not bind us? He says, Swami Nanu Sridharaha. Is your Swami not Sridhara, the Supreme Lord Narayana, Sri Hari? Is he not your master? Why are you worrying? Why are you worrying? So you think Krishna will protect me from all my sinful reactions? Of course he will. Will Krishna protect me from hell? Of course he will. Will Krishna lift me up from all problems? Of course he will. But then what do I have to do? He says, Alasyam vyapaniya bhakti sulabham dhyayasva narayanam. You have to give up alasyam. You have to give up laziness. You have to give up procrastination. You see, these three modes, sattva, rajas and tamas, they keep taking rounds in our consciousness. So when sattva is prominent, we feel like hearing something good, talking something good, doing good, be good, being human. Only remains on the t-shirt, being human. We feel like, you know, I want to do good to everyone. So that is when sattva is prominent in the heart. But when rajas is prominent in the heart, one feels like enjoying. One feels like enjoying. Even at the cost of others suffering. And when tamas is prominent in the consciousness, one feels like sleeping. One feels like laziness. Theek hai, chanting kal se karenge. Kal se pakka. Today is 29th, na? End of the month. Pakka, from the 1st of October, I will be a different person. This is how tamas tricks. This is how tamas tricks. Procrastination, laziness, sleep. Theek hai, that's fine. we have to be practical. Body also needs some rest, right? Tamas will trick through all of these things. So when these three modes take their turn, consciousness goes through these three things. But during all these three phases, one should chant. Whether rajas, sattva or tamas, holy name must be on the tongue. If we are sitting to chant and we feel sleepy, we should stand up. Throw cold water on the face, stand up. Walk and chant. Stand up and chant. Fight. We have to fight. We have to be soldiers. We have to fight it out. It's easier to fight this than to fight all the dukkha and so many other bodies. Right? So we have to work hard. So alasyam vyapaniya. He says we have to give up laziness. There must be discipline. Disciple means discipline. Waking up time, morning sadhana, chanting, hearing, reading, worshipping, associating. This discipline. And dhyayasva narayanam. We must try to remember the Supreme Lord. And then Kulashekhara is saying, if that Krishna, that Supreme Lord, lokasya, if he can protect the whole world, if he can maintain the whole world, dasasya kim nakshama, then can't he do so much for his own servant? Can't he do this for his own servant? So this we must understand. Trishna toye madana pavano dhuta mohor mimale dara varta tanaya sahaja graha sangha kulecha samsarakhe mahati jalado majjata nastri dhaman padam bhoje varada bhavato bhakti navam prayacha. In another verse, he's saying that, my Lord, I am living in a very interesting world. Now look how the devotee is praying. He says, I am living in an ocean, or I'm drowning in an ocean. The ocean is material existence. Samsara Sindhu, Samsara Sagara. I am drowning in an ocean, which is this material world. But the description is amazing. It's very graphic. He says, Trishna Toye. What is the water of this ocean? It is unending desires. Unending desires. How many droplets of water are there in the ocean? Those many desires I am having in my life. Trishna toye. Acha. What is the next description? Trishna toye madana pavana. Now we know, water is steady, but when there is breeze on the surface of the water, then there are some ripples and some waves formed. So what is that breeze? What is that breeze? Pavana is madana, is lust. So he's saying unlimited material desires are there like water droplets in the ocean of my life. And the constant background music, the constant blowing of the breeze on the surface of this ocean is lusty desires. Trishna toye madana pavana uddhuta moha urmi male. And the tides in the ocean which are coming, and then they crash. And as they crash, the next set is coming. And then as they crash, the next set is coming. What is that? Material planning. Pehle main aisa karunga. Ye hua to phir waise karunga. Ye nahi hua to aise karunga. And nothing works. Our unending material planning are like waves which crash on the surface. But then as they crash, they don't get tired. The next set of waves are ready. Look at the description. So, Trishna toye, the ocean is this material world. The water are unending material desires. The breeze on the surface is lust. The tides are material planning. Acha, now let's get even more graphic and descriptive underwater. Dharavarte tanaya sahaja graha sangha kulecha. Now, underwater aquatics. From one side, there is a crocodile. On the other side, there is a whale. From the third side, there is a shark trying to bite my hands and legs and pull me out. What are they? Family, friends, brothers, sisters, husband, wife, daughter, son, grandfather, grandmother, grandson, granddaughter, brother-in-law, mother-in-law, father-in-law, sister-in-law. Why? They look as innocent as fishes. But just like the crocs underwater, they are chewing into our flesh. King Kulashekhara says, all our family, all our relatives, our spouse, our children, however nice and attractive and cute and beautiful and innocent they may be, there is time invested in maintaining responsibilities in this world, right? To maintain any relation, to work in this world, to keep husband happy, wife happy, children happy, save for their marriage, save for their education. It takes, it chews into the human energy, chews into human time. So you can see parents when they are young, when they are in their, you know, early 20s or mid 20s or late 20s, they become parents. And then next 25 years are given in just cultivating children, parenting. Now that child grows up and he leaves the house and he continues either through academics or work, he leaves. And now parents have become old. So the 20 years that they spend for their child, it's chewing into their energy and their time. The time and energy that they got from Krishna to get Krishna, they gave it to everyone around out of responsibility. And everyone, all of us are in this network through different contexts, society, friends, social life, professional life, family life, duties. You know, somebody's Upanayan Samskar, somebody's Griha Pravesh Samskar, somebody's Vivaha Samskar. Then we have to go attend all of that. By then there is Garbhadan, then we have to attend childbirth, then first birthday, name giving ceremony, Annaprashna name giving ceremony, then first birthday. By then somebody else is getting married and it's unending, goes on. Through responsibilities, social responsibilities, professional responsibilities, personal responsibilities, family duties, time and energy is chewed into. And then King Kulashekara says, Samsarakhe mahati jalado majjatam nastri dhaman. My Lord, amidst all this, the drowning foolish man is me. Lifetime after lifetime I have drowned. But now I am putting my hand up and begging for help. What is the help? Padam bhoje varada bhavato bhakti navam prayacha. Please throw a boat around me so that I can jump onto the boat and save myself. And what is that boat? The boat is called bhakti. Amidst the ocean of suffering, to get out of the ocean, there is a boat called as bhakti. And if we can get onto that boat, we will be safe. This is why although Krishna says, this place is a place of suffering, dukhalayam ashashvatam, the devotee Prabodhananda Saraswati says, vishvam purna sukhayate. Kaun kehta hai dukha is jagat mein? Who says there is dukha? The world is filled with joy. Now who is speaking the truth and who is speaking false? Krishna is speaking reality. And Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying that how that reality can change into another reality with bhakti. If bhakti is there, one is on the boat in the ocean, so there is no suffering. If people say there is suffering, which means we are drowning in the ocean. And if people say there is joy, pure devotees, which means they are in the boat. So while being in the ocean, we cannot be happy, we are drowning. But if we can get onto the boat of bhakti, then we will be safe. So in this way, our acharyas have said so many wonderful things about getting out of this world. There is one final verse which is very wonderful, which gives a lot of hope. Again comes from King Kulashekara. He says about the nature of happiness and how to get it. He says, Vyamoha prashamaushadam munimano vritti pravrittaushadam daitendrarthikaraushadam tribhuvane sanjeevanai kaushadam bhaktatyanta hitaushadam bhavabhaya pradvamshanai kaushadam shreya prapti karaushadam pibhamana shri krishna divyaushadam. He says, if you want an aushadhi, a medicine to succeed, then he says, take a medicine called as Krishna Nam. And what kind of medicine is it? Vyamoha prasham aushadam. It is that medicine which can cure confusion. There is no medicine we can take in this world which can create, which can destroy material confusion and bewilderment. Vyamoha prasham aushadam. That vishesha moha of this world, illusion of this world, can be taken away by this medicine called Krishna Nam. That's the first effect of this medicine. Second effect. Vyamoha prashamaushadam munimano vritti pravrittaushadam. By taking this medicine, the second benefit is one will start thinking just like how the previous acharyas thought. Our mind will work according in line with how the previous acharyas' minds thought. There is no medicine in this world from the pharmaceutical industry by taking which our mind will start thinking like Prahlad Maharaj. Not possible. But this one medicine called Krishna Nam, just by keeping on the tongue and the throat and the heart, first effect, all material illusion, all material confusion, all material bewilderment will be lost. Anytime we are confused about anything, just chant and pray to Krishna. Krishna will guide from within. This is what the Acharya is saying. Second effect we said, Muni Manovritti Pravritta Ushadam. By chanting the holy name, taking the medicine of the holy name, one will start thinking just like how the previous Acharyas thought. Mahajano Yena Gatasya Pantha. Third benefit, Daityendrarthikara Ushadam. The enemies outside will not be able to influence us. They will not be able to attack us. We can see Prahlad Maharaj was being externally attacked so much, but the demons could not do anything. They were trying to move mountains. They could not even move a small stone in the life of Prahlad Maharaj. They tried to throw him from the top of the mountain the Supreme Lord was there holding. Which means we don't have to worry about what people think about us, what they write about us, what they speak about us, what, who is saying what, why they should say like this. I am so good. You don't have to worry. Don't waste time. Whoever wants to say whatever, let them say. Prabhupada used to say, the dogs will bark and the caravan will pass. Which means every time there is a car which passes, the dogs will bark. So doesn't matter what people think. Outside enemies, people agree, people don't agree, they spit venom or they glorify us, doesn't matter. We should not get distracted. Daityendrarthikara Ushadam. So this medicine of the holy name will help us, without doing anything, defeating all the enemies outside and defeating enemies in the heart. There is no medicine we can take from the pharmaceutical industry which will destroy the lusty desire. Not possible. But by chanting the holy name, you can become Haridas Thakur. You can follow the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. You can see that on one hand is Ajamil. He goes to the prostitute in the middle of the forest and once and gets distracted for life. On the other hand, the prostitute comes to Haridas Thakur in the middle of the forest, not once but thrice. And she ends up becoming initiated. What is the difference between Ajamil and Haridas Thakur? Ajamil was born in a Brahminical family. Haridas Thakur was not even born in a Brahminical family. But the difference is, Ajamil did not chant the holy name. And Haridas Thakur was only constantly chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Daityendrarthikara Ushadam. Lust in the heart is destroyed. Fourth, Sanjeevanaika Ushadam. Our vision towards life will change. Instead of complaining, instead of criticizing, instead of blaming, one will see everyone to be part and parcel of Krishna and there is no problem. You see Dhruva Maharaj, before he did bhajan, he was complaining. I wish I get this kingdom. But after he did bhajan and he had the darshan of the Lord, he said, my Lord, there is no problem. I don't want anything. I don't want anything. So Amin Kritarthosmi Varam Nayache. I don't desire anything. So our vision in life will change. What was the first benefit by chanting the holy name? Bewilderment and confusion is taken out. I hope we are taking notes. Very wonderful point. Second, by chanting the holy name, we will start thinking like the previous acharyas. Our decisions will be in line with Shastra. Third, by chanting the holy name, external enemies and internal enemies will not have any effect on us. And fourth, by chanting the holy name, our vision in life will change. And all of this while being in the ocean of problems. While being in this world, this is how the medicine of the holy name works. Now fifth, bhakt atyanta hita ushadam. If there is something that we want to do to bring in best results for our future, supreme well-being. Agar apne aap se prem karte hain, if we love ourselves and feel like doing the best thing for ourselves, then chanting is the best thing. Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. It destroys the past reactions. It destroys the sins. It destroys the sinning tendency. Destroys the contamination in the heart. Destroys our fault-finding mentality. Destroys our laziness. Destroys our taste in enjoying this world. Everything just by chanting. Harinam, Harir Naam Aiva Kevalam. We are memorizing and saying it like a parrot, but Harinam on the tongue brings in all supreme good fortune. Bhakt atyanta hita ushadam. If we love ourselves and we want to bring in supreme well-being for ourselves, then just chanting. ಭಕ್ತ ಅತ್ಯಂತ ಹಿತ ಔಷಧಂ. ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ತ್ ಬೆನಿಫಿಟ್, ಭವಭಯ ಪ್ರಧ್ವಂಸನೈಕ ಔಷಧಂ. ಒನ್ ವಿಲ್ ನೆವರ್ ಫೀಲ್ ಅಫ್ರೇಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್. ಲೈಕ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್, ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಆನ್ ಟು ಅ ಕಾರ್ಗೋ ಶಿಪ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ವಿತ್ ನೋ ಫಿಯರ್. 37 days ಆನ್ ದಿ ಓಷನ್, ನೋಬಡಿ ಟು ಟಾಕ್ ಟು, ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಸಿ, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚರಿತಾಮೃತ್ ವಿತ್ 2 heart attacks, ಬ್ಲಿಸ್ಫುಲ್. Getting into a foreign land where we don't know how the circumstances are, we don't know anyone there, no circumstances, no arrangements made. It's not that somebody is there at the airport or at Commonwealth Pier or Boston, as soon as the ship lands, somebody is there with a garland. Nothing. Prabhupada had to make his own arrangements. So the sixth benefit, bhaktatyanta hitaushadam bhava bhaya pradvamshanaika aushadam. One will become fearless in life. One can have name as Abhay in this world, but one will end up becoming Abhay Charan. One will be at the feet of that Lord who makes us fearless. And the seventh benefit, Shreya Prapti Karaushadam. One will get Krishna Prem and Darshan of Radha and Krishna by chanting the holy name. Therefore, Piba Manaha, O mind, drink Shri Krishna Divya Aushadam. This divine nectarian medicine called Krishna Nam. Other medicines, they destroy Deha Roga. And that too, one medicine will destroy only one Roga. Cough syrup cannot be taken for anything else. And stomach upset medicine cannot be taken for something else. But this name of Krishna doesn't destroy Deha Roga. It destroys Bhava Roga. And one medicine for all problems. And like other medicines, it has no side effects. It has no expiry date. And it is not bitter on the tongue. It is sweet on the tongue. Aha. Such a gift. So after discussing in the first half of our class on the problem and the distress of this world, the second half of the class brings smile on our face, because bigger than the problem of suffering in this world is the solution of joy in this world. That is Krishna Bhakti. And in that, Sri Hari Nam Prabhu. So therefore, I will pause here with this. If there are any questions, reflections or suggestions, I will be very happy to take. Vansha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Iti shodashakam namnam kali kalmasha nashanam natah parataru upaya sarva vedeshu drishyate.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for such a wonderful class, Prabhuji. Initially, you explained each and every sentence in the purport. It was so beautiful, because I wish you do that for whole Bhagavatam, Prabhuji, for each and every sloka. It will be so easy to understand, like fools like me. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
I personally like to open up the purport of Srila Prabhupada, because I am very convinced in my heart that every line of Srila Prabhupada's purport has so many meanings even beyond that one line. Prabhupada as an acharya is condensing so much information in one sentence. So Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj used to say that we should read every sentence and then think about it and open it up and realize. And in some ways I feel the purport of Srila Prabhupada, again, it's just my opinion, I feel that the purport of Srila Prabhupada is more important than even the text, than Bhagavatam also. Because sometimes we can read Bhagavatam and not understand. But by reading the purport, we understand the essence of that verse better. So some thoughts.
Thank you, Prabhuji. I would like to ask Shobha Radha Mataji to go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Koti koti pranams. Prabhuji, my question is, when we go to preaching platform, Prabhuji, so many people ask this thing. I'll just give you an example of a situation. There is a very, very senior devotee in the temple, Prabhuji. He is serving from last 25 to 30 years. He's Srila Prabhupada's disciple. Something happened. He's not faulty, but people, they made him faulty, or what happened, we don't know, Prabhuji. So he's outside the temple right now. So we understand, Prabhuji, spiritually Krishna is doing always best for us. It is best for him, best for us, we understand. But materially, people, they are not satisfied. They are asking so many questions. You are doing Krishna Bhakti from so many years. What you got? See, this happened. So, Prabhu, what shall we tell them that they don't speak anything wrong or any comment wrong on in any situation about any devotee?
Well, what people are going to think and what people are going to speak, it's never going to stop. We will not be able to stop. How many mouths can we stop? Like, even if you try to explain the truth, people may not have the consciousness to understand the truth. Because bhakti is such that it goes beyond logic. It's not illogical, it's translogical. It's beyond logic. So through material academic intelligence, we can understand. Yes, if this is like this, then it is like this. But this is like this, then it is like this. But bhakti or devotional spiritual life or spiritual principles to understand, we need nam. We need consciousness. We need credit to understand. Through intelligence, we cannot. So how Krishna is working mysteriously in the life of different devotees, whether it is because of their own past karma or whether Krishna is intervening to do special favor in their life, how advanced they are, we cannot tell. And naturally, we cannot prove it to anyone. But however, if the general question is about you're performing so much bhakti, what are you getting in return? Karke dekhlo. Karke dekhlo. Aap naam bhajan karke dekhlo. नाम जप के देख लो और बात ना बने तो बताना. अगर वो श्रद्धा नहीं है, नाम भजन करने की कोई सामर्थ्य नहीं है, दे आर नॉट हैविंग एनी डिजायर और रुचि टू डू चैंटिंग एंड भक्ति, बस बाहर से तट से खड़े हैं और कह रहे हैं कि समुद्र में लहर कैसे लग रही है, अरे अंदर छलांग लगा के देखो, तैर के देखो थोड़ा, फिर आपको पता चले. तो बट इफ पीपल आर नॉट इंटरेस्टेड टू परफॉर्म भक्ति एंड जस्ट टॉकिंग, देन वी कैन प्रूव मच टू देम, कैन प्रूव मच टू देम. बट इफ दे आर रियली इंटरेस्टेड, let them perform bhakti. And if they are interested about why this is happening, why that is happening, we should understand, we should tell them that if you jump into an ocean, even if you swim in the right direction, you will still get wet. You will still get wet. If you get into a coal mine, however good the person is, however white his dress is, it will get black by the time he gets out. Right? It's natural. So similarly, the ocean of this world, even if you swim in the right direction, you will get wet. Some dukkha will come. Because we, Prabhupada writes in teachings of Queen Kunti that this material world is a miserable place and we have registered our name in the database of distress by coming into this world. So even if we become devotees, circumstances will not change. Our past karma will come. It will come. ऐसा नहीं कि भक्ति करने लगे तो अभी कल से ही सब परिवर्तित होगा. नहीं, बाहर से कुछ परिवर्तित नहीं होगा. नथिंग विल चेंज फ्रॉम आउटसाइड. आउटसाइड व्हाट विल कम बिकॉज वी आर इन दिस वर्ल्ड, इट विल नॉट चेंज. बट द वे वी विल डील विद इट विल चेंज. वी विल नॉट सी इट एज अ प्रॉब्लम एनी मोर. वी विल सी इट एज अ अपॉर्चुनिटी टू मेक एडवांसमेंट. सो दिस इज व्हाट वी शुड टेल देम. नाउ व्हाई इट इज हैपनिंग इन द लाइफ ऑफ दैट डिवोटी, हमें क्या लेना देना, ऐसे कहना है, हमें क्या लेना देना. सबका अलग अलग चलता है और प्रभु कृष्णा हैज अ वे टू प्यूरिफाई एवरीबडी, कृष्णा हैज अ वे टू ब्लेस एवरीबडी. हमें हमारी गाड़ी में चलना है. गाड़ी चलाते चलाते अब किनके गाड़ी में कौन बैठे करे तो हमारे गति यहाँ फिर एक्सीडेंट हो जाएगा. इफ वी सिट इन आवर कार एंड लुक अराउंड, वी शुड जस्ट, ठीक है, एवरीवन हैज देयर ओन पैथ, कृष्णा हैज देयर ओन वे, नाम भजन करते रहो बस.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Kartik Pradhan, Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandat Pranam, Prabhuji. Thank you for such a wonderful class. Prabhuji, actually, in one of the class I was hearing that one of the Prabhuji was saying that there is a saying that everything happens on Krishna's will, that if Krishna is wanting to do this particular things, then these things is happening to us. And secondly, he was also mentioning that it is not that Krishna wants us to do this. We are suffering the miseries of our life due to our past karmas. And Krishna is just sanctioning the karma on us. So I didn't understand this statement, Prabhuji. Can you please just explain that?
Yeah. So we have to understand, according to Bhagavad Gita, there are multiple reasons to any activity. There is Ishvara, Prakriti, Jiva, Kala and Karma. These are the five things you can see co-doers in every activity. Living entities desire to do something. Material nature sanction. The place must be right. The time must be right. And the living entity, and according to karmic balance of the past, it must be proper for him to get it or do it. And then the Lord will sanction. So first, if the living entity desires whatever he wants, if it is very strong and according to past karma, if it is favorable, place is also fine, time is fine, prakriti is favorable, then the Lord will just sanction. Now that may or may not be his desire. But because the living entity is desiring and everything is favorable, it's majority. So Krishna just sanctions. But if we want to know what Krishna's desires are, then we have to read Shastra. In Shastra, what Krishna is saying, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, that is his desire. So bhakti means I will give up my desire and take on to your desire, my Lord. Then Krishna starts helping full on. But till then, he is sanctioning the desire of the living entity. And the living entity desires on the basis of what his past association has been. What kind of people he has met, what kind of circumstances he has gone to, what kind of experiences he has had. According to that, his desires are coming. He may have a desire to open a slaughterhouse. He may have a desire to drink alcohol because of the association that he has kept. Because of the past karma which got in that association. And that past karma because again of his activities. So he is acting, creating karma, which is causing him to come in a certain circumstance, associate with a certain kind of people, that creates more desires. Now, according to those desires, he goes on his own path. And Krishna is sanctioning because he has affection for the living entity. He is not a dictator. He says, "Theek hai, aapko karna hai, to theek hai, whatever you want to do, you do." Just like the mother may say, "Jao, khelo, jo karna hai karo, jao, main padhai karti hu, jao, tum khelo. You go and play, I will study for you." The mother doesn't mean that, but what to do? The child is, you know, literally troubling her that I want to go and play. Okay, go and play. But if you ask the mother what her desire is, she will say, don't play, sit and study. So that is Shastra. Does that make sense? So when the living entity breaks Shastra and tries on his own path, Krishna is only sanctioning. But when the living entity breaks his desires and jumps on the path of Shastra, then Krishna uses the living entity to do what he wants to do. And now that living entity becomes empowered. And we can see innumerable or unlimited strength in a living entity. They are able to do things that we can't even think of from a spiritual perspective. Why? Because Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tar Pravartan. Krishna is acting there and the living entity is simply a medium. But when the living entity wants to perform something adharmic against Shastra, then he is endeavoring and Krishna is just silent, signing. Make sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I would like to ask Kunj Beta to go ahead with your question. You have to unmute here. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Prabhuji, I have two questions. First question is that like we want to see Krishna, but we are stubborn. So how to have patience that Krishna will give darshan soon?
We can see in the life of Rukmini Devi. Rukmani Devi has said, Shrutva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Shrinvatam Ye Nirvishyakarana Vivarai Haratonga Tapam Rupam Drisham Drishimatam Akhilartha Labham. Rukmani Devi has said, my Lord, I have never seen you, but I am writing this letter out of affection so that you may come and see me. Rukmani simply heard about the qualities of Krishna and then she wrote a letter to Krishna and then Krishna came. So these two things are important. If we hear about Krishna and we write letters to Krishna. Write letters to Krishna means offering prayers to Krishna, performing bhakti. If we hear about Krishna and perform bhakti, then like Rukmini did not go to see Krishna, Krishna came to see Rukmini. So similarly, Krishna will come to take care of the living entity. The living entity doesn't have to see Krishna. Simply hear and perform bhakti, Krishna will come. Is that okay?
Prabhuji, my second question is that sometimes we chant and then talk. So how to control, because we know how to control, but we think that we don't want to control talking and chanting.
So when we are chanting our regular japa, at that time we should be quiet. We should not talk. We should be in a separate room. No phone and no person. We have no one to talk to then. But then if we are chanting all day, we can be quiet all day. So we have to keep talking and keep working and keep chanting at that time. But our regular japa, we should not talk. We should sit alone or sit in the association of devotees without phone, without any person. If someone is there who keeps talking, then we should tell them, I have to chant, we will talk later. Is that okay?
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you, Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for such a beautiful questions. Next, I would like to ask Sarmishta Mataji to go ahead with your questions.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Prabhuji, may I ask in Hindi?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Prabhuji, jaise hum har baar sunte hain ki jo ajami ki story mein, unhone puri life unhone enjoyment kiya, fir end of the time, उन्होंने नारायण का नाम लेके जो की अपने बेटे को बुला रहे थे वो, फिर उन्होंने भगवत धाम की तरफ दी। तो ये एक चीज बार बार माइंड में आती है, हालांकि ये सही नहीं है कि हम भगवान का नाम इन द टाइम में ले पाए, लेकिन ऐसा कोई बोल भी सकता है कि जिंदगी के बाद सिर्फ खुद भी सेल्फ एंजॉयमेंट करो, फिर अपने बेटे का नाम भगवान के नाम रख रख लो,
करके देख लो, करके देख लो, पूरा जीवन पाप करो और फिर मरते समय बच्चे का नाम भगवान का नाम लेकर पुकार कर देखो, फिर बात मान लेंगे। कोई नहीं कर पाएगा, वो केवल अजामिल ही कर सकते हैं, और क्योंकि वो भी शास्त्र का एक उदाहरण है सबको सिखाने के लिए, और कोई कर ही नहीं सकता। इट इज लाइक सेइंग दैट आई हैव नेवर लर्नड सिंगिंग बट आई कैन गो टू लेट्स से इंडियन आइडल और अमेरिकन आइडल एंड व्हेन आई स्टैंड ऑन द स्टेज देन आई विल स्टार्ट सिंगिंग इन सुर। कैसे होगा, बिना प्रयास का तो होगा नहीं। It's not possible. Ajamil is just an example given, not to say that all our life we should sin, but an example given that even if somebody sins at the time of death, if they call out that to their son, not even the Supreme Lord, still they will get benefited. So how much more when someone chants all day and all their life? But if someone says, "Arey, this is very nice, you can perform any sin and then call out to your son at the time of death and name him Narayana and call out, karke dekhlo, try doing it. You will also see Vishnu Duta, but it is not possible. Not possible. 100% not possible. Shukadev Goswami is not a fool. He is giving this example. It is only one of its kind to tell us the power of the holy name. We should see the context of the story, why it was spoken. Sixth canto Bhagavatam starts with a question of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj's question is how to be free from hell. And to that, Shukdev Goswami says, by chanting the holy name. And as an example, he gives Ajamil. So the point is not to sin. The essence of the story is how to get out of sin by chanting. So that is the purpose. So if someone says, I can do, then try. We will see another failure. It is not possible. So many people have tried. Not possible. What we do all our life is what we will do at the time of death. All our life is schooling and death is exam. Is it possible if a child says, I will not study and all my year, all the year, and then on the day of the exam, I will go and answers will start flowing from my pen? Karke dekhlo, try doing it. It's going to be failure, right? So that is also possible. But at the time of death, remembering Krishna, not possible. Even through the sun, not possible. So therefore, we have to abhyasena tu kaunteya. ठीक है
मुझे वन मोर थिंग, जैसे हम हर मतलब जितने सारे भक्तों की स्टोरी सुनते हैं तो उनके पास्ट टाइम में कुछ ना कुछ रिलेट होता है, जैसे भगवान के साथ उन्होंने भगवत प्राप्त किया है, तो क्या ऐसे अजामिल का कुछ पास्ट लाइफ में ऐसे था
दैट व्हाट ही डिड टू गेट दिस बेनिफिट? सो द क्वेश्चन इज व्हाट डिड अजामिल डू सो दैट हिज सिचुएशन बिकेम वेरी फेवरेबल? Actually, this is not there in the Bhagavatam, but I have heard this from the lips of my Guru Maharaj. He said that there were sages, Bhaktivedanta sages, who were visiting the village of Ajamil. And then they wanted to be in the most holiest home. So they started asking everyone around, is there any sadhu, any santa with whom we can associate? So everybody, out of joke, they said, yes, you should associate with Ajamil. He is the best sadhu. They were all joking because he was the most fallen. So the Bhaktivedanta sadhus, they came to Ajamil and they said, is it true that you are the biggest sadhu? He said, actually, no, everyone's making fun of me. I have lived a life, very sinful life. I was born in a Brahminical family. I lost my path and I've lost everything. What do I do now? So the sadhu said, you should perform bhakti. He said, it's not possible. Oh, you should give up this prostitute wife and live simple. He said, that's also not possible. In fact, now she's pregnant with a child. Bhagavatam describes that when Ajamil was 88 years old, then his son was 4 years old. So Ajamil was a big sense gratifier. So the sadhu said, okay, if you cannot do anything else, just name this child in the womb as Narayan. Can you do that? Then he said, okay, that I can do. So sadhus gave kripa. By that he got Harinam. And through Harinam he got Vishnudutas. And through Vishnudutas he got Vaikuntha. Okay?
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful examples. I would like to ask Shreya Tripathi Mataji to please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I wanted to ask how to be more humble and tolerant while constantly remembering death.
Humility and tolerance cannot be got in any market or any shop by anyone, right? Because they are not products of this world. They are products of the spiritual world. Only when Krishna is pleased with the living entity, he blesses the person with humility and tolerance and forgiveness. They are all after effects of bhakti. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna manorathe nasati dhavato bahi. The fifth canto of Bhagavatam describes, if we can just hold on to bhakti of the Supreme Lord, chanting of the holy name, hearing Harikatha, serving the Vaishnavas, worshipping the deity, reading Shastra, worshipping Tulsi, following Ekadashi, and being under a spiritual master. You follow these principles, automatically Krishna is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, then he destroys our bad qualities and gives us his own quality. Just like a soldier, he cannot go and steal Paramvir Chakra from the Indian government. He cannot steal the stars on his uniform. They have to be given by the government. And they are given to him by the government on the basis of how wonderfully he is fighting in the war. Then the government is pleased. When the government is pleased, they give him the puraskar, the prize. So similarly, we have to fight on the path of bhakti, please the government called Krishna, then Krishna will give the Paramvir Chakra and the stars on our uniform. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena. But what we have to do is Kirtaniya Sadahari. If we do Kirtaniya Sadahari, Krishna will bring Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena. The pridelessness, humility, forgiveness, tolerance, compassion, these things Krishna will give. And he will destroy anger, lust, greed, etc. Ridyantastha Abhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. Bhagavatam describes, Pravishta Karnarandrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasi Yathasharat. Krishna will sit in the heart and with the broom, he will clean the consciousness. The cobweb of all our anarthas, Krishna will clean. But for that, we have to let Krishna sit in the heart. And getting Krishna in the heart means through the tongue, Harinam, and through the ears, Harikatha. Then Krishna will sit on the lotus of our heart and clean all the anarthas. And when Krishna comes and cleans all the anarthas, automatically the good qualities will come. Is that okay? We don't have to make extra endeavor to separately cultivate them. We cannot cultivate. We can act humble, we can talk humble, we can behave humble, but it's not humility. When somebody comes and slaps us, then we will see the true humility come out. Right? So only by chanting, only by bhakti.
Thank you so much.
And Prabhuji, constantly we aware of death?
How to be aware of death? You have to read this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to read this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to see how left, right, center people are dying. Ahani ahani bhutani gachanti yama mandiram sheshaha sthavara michanti kim ashcharya mataha param. Either accidents or heart attacks or this and that. So many complications are there in this world. So if you are aware of Krishna, that's more than enough. You don't have to think of death. We have to think of death so that we start thinking of Krishna. But if you're thinking of Krishna, you don't have to give up the thought of Krishna to think about how painful death is. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyo na jatochit sarva vidhi nishedasyur etayoreva kinkaraha.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, do you have still some more time? Prabhuji, there are 8 more hands raised.
Yeah, we can do a quick rapid fire.
Dibyashri Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
The questions can be kept short and I'll try to keep the answer short too.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, how to convince a person on the spiritual path if he's more elevated to the material life, as you mentioned, respect, prestige and all of that. I want to share a small experience. Actually, I went to one of my relatives' house and there they had asked me to do the evening aarti. So it took quite a while, and when I finished, the thing that they commented was, you've spent at least around 45 minutes doing the evening aarti like an old lady. Why do you take so much of time doing that?
So yeah, you don't have to keep it to 45 minutes. You can do 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Doesn't have to be 45 minutes.
No, that's not on purpose. That happened by that time. But how to convince them that that's not the path, the spiritual path. They have to come to the spiritual path.
Well, people are having different thoughts. And generally, the general thought is old age is meant for spiritual practice. Anyone who thinks, reads, speaks, chants, anything connected to God, then that is not for the youth. It's meant for the old people. When we can't see, can't hear, can't remember, can't talk, that's when bhakti is to be performed. That's the general less intelligent idea. So they can be blamed for that. It's just a general idea that everyone has. So what we should do is when we interact with them, we should not... So basically, when we know that someone is not very appreciative of bhakti, then we don't overdo anything. We don't overdo anything. If they tell us to do arati, we will keep it to 5 minutes. What's the problem? Why 45 minutes? Which arati? Even in the temple, the arati is only 20 minutes, 25 minutes. We can internally chant.
Yes, absolutely.
We can internally chant. And those whom we think are favorable to listen, to them we can share some things that we have heard through Harikatha or Prabhupada's books. But if someone is closed, we don't have to push them. That's fine. Everybody has their own time, and when the time is right, they will come. We don't have to push anybody in this world. We have to simply convince ourselves to become the better devotees. That's it. Time is too short. We simply have to make sure that out of the 45 minutes aarti, you can just do 5 minutes aarti, like everyone else. If everybody is doing 2 minutes aarti there, or the thought process is like 2-3 minutes, we also keep it to that. We don't want to do anything extra. And in that assembly, if you feel someone is favorable, then privately we talk to them. We don't have to get onto a podium and make announcement. Not everybody is interested anyway. We don't expect everybody to be interested. Prabhupada said, don't be surprised by how many come. Be surprised by how many stay. Or, you know, don't be surprised by how many leave. Be surprised by how many stay. Right? That's very important. So very few will take up. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin maam veti tatvatah. Krishna himself has said in the 7th chapter, out of millions only one will become pure devotee. So it's rare. We can't expect everyone to be a diamond customer. In the fish market, many can buy fish. But diamond store owner, you see the diamond shop always vacant. And bhakti is not a fish, bhakti is a diamond. So very few customers will be there. So don't think that because in the fish market so many people are there, so many people should be there in the diamond store also. It's not expected. What Prabhupada did was revolution. Nacha bhuto na bhavishyati. We cannot do. So what we should do is we should see whoever is favorable, whoever has taste, we should share only to them, but not to everyone in general. And antare nishtha karo bahi loka vyavahar. Mahaprabhu has said, inside be devotion, devotee, and bahi loka vyavahar. Bahar sabke jaisa ghul milke, be like everyone else. We should be like that. Theek hai?
Thank you, Babuji. Megha Mataji, please go ahead with your question, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Shri Prabhupada, Guru and Gauranga. Prabhu, I'm a big, big fan and follower of your lectures and you. Thank you so much for great inspiration, you know, with all your lectures. My quick question to you is, you know, what to do and how to avoid the sangha of, you know, like close family, friends or families where, you know, we try to preach to them. It's in similar lines of what the previous Mataji had asked. But my question is more towards how to avoid and not make them averse to bhakti. Because if we were always with them and now we are with them, but not, you know, we're in the world, but not of the world kind of thing, if we're trying that. How to avoid that, you know, because it's very uncomfortable to, you know, sit in front of people who are drinking and everything. And we try to explain this is, you know, you're trying to find this happiness and all those things, but it's not there. And they say, you know, we're dogs and we'll be dogs and remain dogs and it's okay to go to hell. I mean, how to avoid this family connection with them? How can I do that? Because I know there's no point of preaching to them.
Right. So, Ishware tad adhineshu balisheshu dvishatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yah karoti samadhyama. The fifth chapter of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam has mentioned that making distinctions is very important. It's not judgmentalism, but it's just to make some discreet boundaries. What should be done and what should not be done. So, with senior devotees, we serve them. With equals, we hear and we speak. And with those who are sincere, innocent, newcomers on the path, we speak to them. So with seniors, we take association. With equals, we share association. And with juniors, we give association. And now those who are not interested in the path of bhakti, those who are not interested, like outright, then we avoid. Now, it's very interesting that family relations can get complicated and they are pretty complex, so it's difficult to avoid. Outsiders we can avoid, but family it's a little difficult. So we should make some rule that point number one, if someone is little favorable and inquisitive, then we will speak to them. This is point number one. Somebody is favorable and inquisitive on their own, then we will speak to them. Point number two, they are favorable, but not so inquisitive. They are favorable, but not so inquisitive. So we create the curiosity, the inquisitiveness by maybe starting up the topic or giving the book, but again, not overdoing it, depending on how much they can take. Then there is that class who are not interested in bhakti, but they don't have any problem if you practice bhakti. Like you don't tell me to practice, but I accept you the way you are. Like if you want to put on tilak and kanti and not eat meat and not drink, I'm fine. I accept that. That's your way of, you know, your path, and I'm fine. But I am not ready for that. So with such people, it's still okay to associate because, again, best not to, but seeing the circumstance, it's still okay. We don't preach to them, definitely a big no-no, no preaching to them. And not always being Krishna conscious in the sense that in front of them, picking up the beads and chanting and shaking the head and chanting and things like that, which will probably take them more, few more inches away from Krishna than where they actually are. Our purpose should be to bring everyone at least 1 inch closer to Krishna. If not, at least let them stay where they are. But it's it's violence on our part to take them 1 inch away from Krishna because of our behavior. So no preaching. And if there are those who themselves will not practice bhakti, and they don't like if you practice bhakti, it's best to avoid such people. Because they are lost in their own path, and they want you to get lost in your path. Away from your path, distracted from your path. So it's best to avoid such people. So in such assemblies, it's best to say that I have some other parallel commitment, so I need to go. Or go there, hang out for some time, but then leave very quickly and not associate too much. And let them know that. Let them know that. I mean, just like they have a problem in not following, and they desire that you should not follow, similarly, your thing is that they should not intervene. It's better to have that individual space. You can reduce those interactions. Let's say that I will not go very regularly, let's say once in 3 months or 4 months, depending whatever it is. But I'm not going to keep it as a weekend, every weekend activity. I'll just spell it out and let them know that I have some other things to do. And, you know, they don't have to sign me up for every weekend or once a month. So sometimes it's good to have that fencing around tender leaves so that deer doesn't come, the sheep doesn't come, other animals don't come and eat the creeper away. So our bhakti is like a creeper, and bad association is like at least a deer, you know, if not a vulture, if not a lion, at least to start with a deer. And the deer can eat up the grass or eat up the creeper. So it's good to fence it, right? It's good to fence it. So our heart, our bhakti is like a creeper, tender at this point. So it's good to have strong fencing around so that the deer doesn't come. Once our bhakti becomes like a tree, a wish fulfilling tree, anybody can come and sit under the shade and the tree doesn't get affected. But at this point, our bhakti is not like a desire tree. It's like a small tender creeper. So it's best to avoid such bad association by putting high fencing. Sometimes, what's the point in being very good to everyone when ultimately I'm not able to be good to Krishna, who's being good to me all times? I'm not coming in this world to please everyone at all times anyway. So I think it's sometimes okay to be a little cut and dry for the sake of the Supreme Lord. Does that answer the question? Okay.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Next, I would like to ask Sandeep Prabhuji to go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam.
Is offering obeisances is equally important as chanting? And if it's so, when we go out, when we are traveling, so how to follow this instruction of offering obeisances as we do not have deities?
We may have some picture. We can carry some picture with us. If it is not there, you can pull up some picture on your phone, keep it on the table and offer obeisances. Krishna will accept.
And it is equally important as chanting, so Prabhu, we have to give full importance.
Abhi kar sakte hain, vriddhavastha mein wo bhi nahi hoga. In old age, when the body gets old or tired and diseased, we will not be able to offer obeisances. If someone has problems with their lower back, they will not be able to offer obeisances. So why not offer obeisances right now? Because chanting we can do, we should do, and we must do. There's no chanting is first, offering obeisances is second, but it must be done. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya is given first priority, chanting the holy name, and then Pranamo Dukkha Shamana, second priority to offer obeisances. But in the youth, both are important, because in old age, we may not be able to.
Thank you so much.
Prabhuji, it's 9 o'clock. Do you still have some more time? Is it
okay? Maybe we'll take one last question.
Okay. Parima Mataji, please go ahead with your question, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Again, please accept my Dhanvat Pranams. And thank you for such a wonderful class. Prabhuji, I had this question that when we attain bhakti, as it is stated in the Bhagavatam, we are naturally freed from Maya. Then how is it that like Jad Bharat and some people, they seem to be falling? And then how can the freedom from Maya be permanent? It cannot. I mean, it should not be temporary. That's what I'm trying to say.
It is not temporary. Bharat Maharaj fell because he himself went and caught Maya. Bhakti freed him from Maya, but he went and caught Maya. So now what can
you do? And at what stage of bhakti can a person be totally, you know, exalted, completely exalted?
Prema.
Okay.
From bhava also one can fall.
Okay.
But it is rare. Bilwa Mangal Thakur and Bharat Maharaj's cases are examples from bhava. But it's rare. So bhakti freed Bharat Maharaj from Maya. Maya was not touching Bharat Maharaj, but Bharat Maharaj went and caught Maya. So what can we do now? He went and caught the deer.
Yes. Okay, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for your very enlightening class today, and we are very grateful to you. We look forward for your association again in the future.
Thank you.
Let's pay our senses to Prabhuji. Vancha
kalpatanubhyasya kripa
sindhubhyasya sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo
nibhyo vyasya nibhyo namo kuti vyasya vrindhi ki jai Bhagavatam ki jai Srila Prabhupad ki jai His grace Amarendra Prabhuji ki jai
It's a disgrace. Disgrace. Not his grace, disgrace. Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class and very nice answers. Thank you so much.
Mataji, shall we end the call here?
Yes, Mataji.
Mataji, can you please end the call here, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, I'm ending. I was not unable to unmute myself. Okay, Mataji, I'm ending. Thank you, everyone, for joining today's class. We'll meet again tomorrow. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.